You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Summer, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? And TPC rolls on Saturday evening, June the 25th. Great to have back with us this hour the one and only, the scribe himself, Brad Griffin, founder and editor-in-chief
of... And world traveler now.
He's been all across the country this summer, that's for sure, over there at OccidentalDescent.com. Brad, you were with us back in May when we took a look at the abortion issue from the standpoint of the issue itself. Now we're looking at it in three-dimensional terms, I guess, and where it goes from here. But you were on that show with Sam Dixon and Roger Devlin when we examined the fact that this would be coming down the pike tonight. Of course, we're looking at it as something that has been done and the left's reaction and where we go from here. So really excited to have you for part of that show, Brad, and tonight's show as well. How are you tonight, my friend?
Doing good, and happy birthday. What a birthday, James.
What an accomplishment. I'll tell you what... We did it ourselves, did we not? Me and you and Keith. But no, listen, it has certainly been an historic summer, one way or another. And I know, Brad, that you just shared with me during the break that you had been tuned in for a little bit, and at least caught parts of the earlier segments, if not the entire program. So why don't we just start with there, your take on what we've been able to share tonight and your overall take on what happened yesterday.
And past week.
I mean, well, first of all, going back to December, I did not expect, it's weird. It's just a weird feeling seeing, conservatives have a massive, you know, jaw dropping bombshell victory over the left, isn't it? I mean, that's not something any of us would have expected to see in our lifetimes, but,
never thought I'd see the left so agitated.
Oh, they are beside themselves. Even here, they were out protesting in Auburn yesterday after the decision, and today, and have the little pathetic signs, and you know, I keep making the joke. You know, in this state, we believe that, you know, women don't have the right to murder their own children. So,
well, what I wonder, Brad, is this. Who are the guys that are impregnating these women that makes them want to get abortions? I mean, the old saying was they'd make a freight train take a dirt road, and I can, you know, I look at them and I just shake my head, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a religion for a lot of them. I mean, there's I saw old Molly conjure a socialist dog mom. She was beside herself crying and stuff. It's like since when do you have a boyfriend or I thought you were a lesbian, like, how does this affect you? But this is the religion.
That's funny.
Know?
Well, it is. I mean, look, they have been infected with this culture of death, and we were talking with Lauren Witzke in the last hour about whether or not they are in fact demonically possessed, and I wouldn't discount that. But you have had so many good takes. You know, we're at OD every day. And I was reading one entry after another. I said, we got to get Brad back on this show. So you and Lauren were the two I really wanted to have on tonight. You wrote, "Liptards are having a bad day. As you just mentioned, in this state, we don't believe women have the right to kill their own children. Please consider relocating back home." And that, Brad, is something I want to talk to you about as much as anything. Do you think that this could help facilitate, if not a national divorce, or perhaps a national divorce, but short of that, at least a partition where people begin to go back home, go back to the blue states from whence they came, and leave the South to the South? Because this is another thing you wrote. You are seeing the Confederacy 2.0 take place as one state after another takes a sledgehammer to Roe, and it's happened within the last few hours.
Yeah, well,
hours.
A lot of Yeah, well, a lot of that is, you know, a lot of that is, you know, conscious trolling. I know I have all the, you know, the hate watchers and the journalists who are reading my blog for, you know, our reaction to these events. So a lot of that is a lot of that is me poking fun at those people. But a lot of it is absolutely real. This is absolutely going to be hugely polarizing. And also, like I argued at length, if you go back and you look at the first time all this happened around, you know, I mean, and Keith was explaining this earlier. It was like an avalanche of, you know, liberal progressive victories back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. You had Brown, and it seemed like one thing led to another. Griswold, you know, led to Loving and also Roe. And there was just all a huge, you know, it wasn't just one thing. It was an avalanche of things. And hopefully with the with this it could be we could this could be like just the beginning of a similar avalanche coming down on the left. I certainly hope so. I mean, I've turned it around in my mind, and I've thought about it. It's just hard to actually believe that we're seeing this, you know, as one state after another just demolishes abortion rights.
Well, you know, I never thought I'd see the left think about secession, because I think their greatest joy in life is remaking us in their image. And now, when the table is turned and they are being remade in our image, you know, it's just hilarious to watch their reactions.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that the rot, you know, you go back, Brad, and you've been such a scholar of Southern history. You had a Southern history series a couple of years ago when you were doing a deep dive on it. That was just incredible. And Keith and I were talking about this earlier tonight. You know, even in the 1860s, you still had enough of a commonality. You still had enough of a racial commonality, a faith commonality, same heroes to some extent, that you could
Same
maybe,
rural basic.
in some ways, you could put Humpty Dumpty back together again after the war between the states. But now the divide is so wide that there is no
Oh, yeah.
reconciliation with these people. I don't want to reconcile with them. I don't want to understand them. I don't want to put a salve on it. I want a complete excision. Do you think we could be seeing here the fault lines of a balkanization of America, which I would frankly welcome?
Absolutely. I mean, no woman has lost the right to choose in this country. A woman can choose to abort her child, you know, in California, in New York, in in Massachusetts. And what's happening here is that, you know, we're having a regional the emergence of a re, not really so much the emergence as the reemergence of, you know, strong. We already have this with other issues like going out west. One of the most striking things you notice is all the marijuana dispensaries and stuff like that. So, I mean, federalism is okay for as long as, you know, it's something the left wants. But the idea that they could lose abortion rights in huge swaths of the country is just intolerable for them. Whereas, you know,
This is
it
a
doesn't
big
bother
one.
us the
I
same
mean,
way.
we can rank which issues we wish had been addressed first, but there is no doubt that this is a victory for us as race-conscious whites.
It's been a knockout.
We love to see the left apoplectic. We love to drink their tears, and that's what we're doing. We'll be back with Brad Griffin next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Once there were green fields kissed by the sun. Once there were valleys where rivers used to run. Once there were blue skies with white clouds high above. Once they were part of an everlasting love. We were the lovers who strolled.
The dirge of the left tonight, they are depressed, they are hysterical, they are threatening violence, and here we are to enjoy their lamentations. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, our special guest tonight, Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent. You heard from Lauren Witzke earlier tonight, and we were talking, of course, with Lauren about Christian nationalism, the attacks against Christians, the attacks against whites, against Christian nationalism, and the fact that these people have to be demonically possessed, at least to some extent. Is there any salvation for them at this point? Are they too far gone? You know, Brad, watching these people so hysterically shriek over the fact that they would have to, what, go to another state to murder their child? You know, we say you have the choice on whether or not to engage in promiscuous sex that leads to a pregnancy. But this is a good thing for us. I hope it is the first of so many to come. You wrote, boom, abortion is now illegal across the Confederacy, and we're not done yet. The Supreme Court, hey, Clarence Thomas already said, we want to, or at least he wants to, we'll see if the other justices that voted to overturn Roe will go along with them. We want to revisit so-called homosexual marriage. And, as you wrote, Brad, there's also a ruling again on affirmative action due soon. Is this the first of more dominoes to fall, or is this a one-shot, one-time thing?
No, I mean, we saw with the gun rights case, right, the day before. And I believe there's still more. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that affirmative action case is coming up. I don't know if
that's a big one for me.
This term? Yeah.
Now, that's a big one for me. People in my generation, that's what basically dashed our dreams. My family had been over here since before the Revolution, I think 1659. And finally, like the Jeffersons, we were going to, take our place in the sun. And I went to college. My sister and I were the first ones to go to college in our family. And then just as, in 1969, when I was 18, that's when affirmative action came in and pulled the rug out from under the ambitions of so many white people.
That's why you ended up going to Ole Miss instead of Vanderbilt, right, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Brad, keep going. You think this could portend more victories to come? Clarence Thomas says he's up for it.
Well, I mean, the left is. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, they're declaring war on the Supreme Court. Getting rid of Roe is an unforgivable sin in their part. So they're gonna go hard after all the conservative justices. So I mean, what have they got to lose at this point? The respect of the media.
They have nothing to fear from the media. That's for sure. They can do anything, and the media will basically,
right,
sit on their hands and say nothing about it.
Well, I said this in the previous hour. I mean, there is, I think, a very real threat of death that these justices are facing, because you see now. And Brad, talk about this. And I hope that, of course, that doesn't happen, but we have to take that very seriously, and I'm sure that they are. I mean, you know, some person was already arrested for being, you know, prowling around on the lawn of one of the justices' homes with a gun saying he was going to kill the guy. Mm-hmm. But
well, no, that would be polarizing.
Well, I mean, you know, but if it happens, though, Biden approves the successor.
Right. Merrick Garland won't provide them with armed guards.
Well,
you know.
If Biden provides the next justice, then it all goes to pot, whatever may be coming. But you have been posting these, the New York Times, which is tracking the states that have banned abortion since the ruling, and it's not just the Confederacy, but it's a lot of the Mountain West states, including, surprisingly to me, Wisconsin, South Dakota, et cetera, North Dakota.
Yeah, well, in the case of Wisconsin, I believe they had, I just put that up, I believe they had like an old, long before, like some kind of 19th century abortion ban, and I believe the governor called a special session to the state legislature, the Democrat governor, and then the Republicans refused to you know, repeal the law, so it went into effect. But the gist of it, what I read before, you know, I threw that up on the site before I came on. But yeah, Wisconsin, abortion is now banned in Wisconsin. It's banned in South Dakota. It's banned in Utah. Missouri was the first state to ban abortion. The real you notice that the real epicenter of this is in the very not concentrated so much in the South as it is in the very center of the country. States like Missouri, the Mississippi Valley, all those states. Tennessee is going to ban abortion. Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas already have it. Oklahoma.
Well, you know,
it's incredible.
Yeah, Brad, I was going to say, I think that there is a lot more kinship between the South and the interior West than most people credit. See, I think that when I was a kid, I always wondered why the cowboys always talked with Southern accents for the most part. And I think it was because there were a lot of refugees from Reconstruction that moved there, and they said that the West was the South without a race problem. So maybe that's going to bear fruit for us.
And you know, Brad,
I'm planning to get into that, by the way. I'm planning to do a whole series on that, but I was in the earliest stages of it. So that'll
give us a teaser. Give us a verbal teaser, and then we'll continue.
No, well, I mean, I was, you know, tracing all the people who left. Missouri after the war, you know, Alabama, huge people went to, lots of people went out to Texas and Wyoming and states like that. And it's interesting to see how those states were settled. Like where did, you know, the population came from? Yes, Confederate
monuments. More Tennesseans at the Alamo than any other two or three states, I believe.
But with regard to what happened this week, Brad, the fact, so here is Missouri passing this within hours of the ruling coming down. That tells me that, of course, the state legislature had this at the ready and ready to go. And once it became safe for them to act, they acted. And I just wonder how far they could be pushed on other issues if given safe harbor and if they know it's safe. What other issues could they act on? Do you think, Brad, we could be talking in a few months or maybe next year about homosexual marriage gone, just like Roe is gone? If you'd have told me, you wrote about this, Brad, I said it once or twice earlier tonight, if you told me 2 years ago that Roe versus Wade would be gone in the summer of 2022, I'd say 0% chance of that. 0%. 0%.
Yeah. No, I figured John Roberts would get his way and they'd chip away at it again and, you know, hang their hat on that peg and kick the can down the road. And that's exactly what I thought would happen. But like, you know, Clarence Thomas is, you know, pretty much, you know, invited, you know, a lot of these state legislatures to take some more shots at issues like contraception, gay marriage. That's exactly what happened with Dobbs. I mean, Mississippi designed the law in order for it to go to court to challenge Roe. I mean, that was the whole purpose of doing it. I don't think they ever imagined that they would actually, you know, knock the whole thing down. But you're going to see state legislatures in the South and in the West and Midwest, you know, really pushing the envelope, I think.
You know, Brad, looking on the other side of it, though, too, Why is it that lesbians seem to be in the forefront of the people that are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth over the loss of abortion? You know, it just puzzles me. Is there something? Do they think they're going to recruit women that have abortions into lesbianism? What's going on?
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. You know, I mean, you see, it's really, you can look at these people and like, it's demonic possession. It's completely irrational that a lesbian would, or homosexual man would have any concern about abortion. But like, you know, it's demonic possession with a lot of these people.
It's also God's hand. You know, Brad, this is something that our friends at VDare tweeted out today, or rather yesterday, I guess, at this point. Say what you will, but Trump made this possible. We said at the top of the show, Trump should be the one spiking the football for this. He also made the war on indecency being waged by Disney, on Disney by DeSantis possible by helping him win in 2018 by 33,000 votes out of 8 million cast. If you believe in God, as we do, this was a miracle. Ruth Bader Ginsburg not retiring in 2015, not dying before Trump could get one last appointee pushed through. This is a miracle.
Yeah. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, dying right on the eve of the election was just, you know, the capstone of it. Part of this is luck. A lot of ways this could have gone the other way. If McConnell had folded and let Merrick Garland be appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, if think he had about stuck that, to just his... a cuck like Garland.
Merrick Garland was supposed to be the most moderate and unobjectionable person in the world, and look what he's turned into.
Got
to
take a quick break, but McConnell holding true on that, and then Trump's appointees. We'll be right back.
Using the Constitution as our guide, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says it's temporarily suspending abortion services in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe versus Wade. At issue is a 173-year-old state law in the books that says it's a felony for virtually any abortion to be performed, except in instances where it is needed to save the mother's life. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said he would not enforce abortion bans in his state. In Massachusetts, Republican Governor Charlie Baker signed an executive order implementing legal protections for reproductive health care providers who serve out-of-state residents. More than a dozen states have trigger laws on the books that would criminalize abortion almost immediately, if not sooner, upon the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced the Show Me States ban on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
At least two are dead, 10 others injured in a shooting at an Oslo, Norway nightclub. Investigators identified the suspect as a 42-year-old Norwegian citizen from Iran. The Norwegian Police Security Service first became aware of the suspect in 2015. They became concerned that he had become radicalized and was part of an unspecified Islamist network. The incident prompted officials to raise the country's terror alert. The last of the 21 victims in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting was laid to rest on Saturday. Uzziah Garcia's funeral was held at a Baptist church in San Angelo, where he lived before moving to Uvalde last year. 19 children and two teachers were killed when a gunman opened fire a month ago. Police response to the incident has been heavily criticized ever since. Wall Street on Friday notched only its second win in the last 12 weeks. The Dow finished 1,612 points higher. The Nasdaq added 809 points. The S&P 500 was higher by nearly 237 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Back with Brad Griffin, the founder and editor-in-chief of Occidental Descent, OccidentalDescent.com. I want to give our guest and dear good friend a wide berth this segment to really hold court. Brad, I couldn't find the exact blog post. I'd read it earlier, but I couldn't find the exact way you worded it. But you had made mention of the fact that history's arc is wide, but eventually it tends back to reaction. What did you mean by that?
That's another thing. Progressives and liberals, they don't just believe that they have a divine right to rule over them, lord it over the rest of us. They also, have a religious faith that history itself is on their side as a class, and that the whole world is the destiny of the whole world is to become more and more like them, as it's Yankee stuff through and through, and there's been
ever more liberal
all throughout. So when I was watching all this, the dominoes fall, I was just laughing to myself, and I made that comment. I was like, if you watch the arc of history long enough, it tends to pull away from, these insane experiments tend to be the exception. There's always been periods of degeneracy throughout history. It's a very, very, very common thing. But, there's always a reaction to that. And sure enough, that's what we're seeing. I think we're in for it for the long haul, too. Because it's really over the next 25 years that the real economic consequences of 50, 70 years of low birth rates is going to come due. Because you start running out of babies, and then you start running out of teenagers, and then you start running out of workers at the bottom. And a lot of these European countries are really headed downhill fast, and it's going to drag the rest of us. And so just the fertility issue, the cultural insanity that we've tolerated for the last 50 years, the bill is really going to come, just really about to come due for it.
Well, that's so the thing. It's kind of fitting, Musk, of course. No, finish your thought, please.
Oh yeah, we're going to be back on Twitter in a few months. that'll be nice too. That's another unexpected.
Yeah, right. I mean, you have to go back to that, right? Wait, but of course, Elon Musk has been talking about it's not overpopulation that we have to worry about; it's depopulation. If you really look at the numbers,
exactly.
That's to your point right now. But I have said this so many times, Brad, that it was just unfortunate. My father was born in 1954, the same year as Brown versus Board, and it was just unfortunate that people like me and you, who are contemporaries, mm-hmm. were born during this nadir of the American experiment, where we were born during this period of decadence and degeneracy. But people tend to think, if they're not looking at the big picture, that whatever's going on in their lifetime is the way that it will always be. But that's not true. This thing is going to turn. I have always believed we would turn it. I didn't know if it would happen in my lifetime or not, but now perhaps it might.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about history. As long as I've been involved in this, which is about 21 years now, I'm going to be 42 in November, same age as you.
Yeah, me and you both.
But 20 years is really just the blink of an eye. And I mean, if we were looking at this from the perspective of some other period of history, it would look like a really huge, rapid change in the last 5 or 6 years, especially the last 2 or 3 years. So I'm optimistic that we're about, well, I'm yeah, you, really you, optimistic.
You go back, Brad, to the polls that you've cited. Yeah. The all of the different polls with regards to the fact that the GOP base is really radicalizing in the best sense of the term to racial realities. The world has changed between 2015 and now. You know, forget about generations or decades, but just in the last 5 or 7 years, there are things that are afoot now that wouldn't have been possible in our wildest dreams. This show's been on the air 18 years. You've been administering OD that long. 10 years ago, this isn't a reality. This is something that we would hope for.
It's just a shame that my life, my productive life from getting out of high school until retirement, has been lived under the baleful shadow of affirmative action.
You're going to live long enough to see the mountaintop, Noah. You're going to see the valley, Noah.
Hopefully. We might come back. We might come back a month or two from now, and we'll be talking about how affirmative actions demise the Supreme Court.
Maybe they'll finally admit me to Vanderbilt Law School.
Now, Keith, tell the story. I know you're jonesing to tell it. You got passed over by one of your classmates who was black that had a far inferior SAT score. You got into Ole Miss. He got into Vanderbilt. Just go ahead and tell us.
The situation is this. I had a lot of people suspect they were victims of affirmative action. I knew it because I had a work-study job in the registrar's office of my college. And in that job, it was my job to make a copy of everybody's transcript that wanted to go to graduate school, professional school, or transfer to another college. So I had access to their grade point average, their course of study, their standardized test scores, all of that. So I noticed when I was a senior that another senior who was black was applying to Vanderbilt Law School. I had a 170 out of 180 on the LSAT. He had a 148 below 150. I had a 3.64 grade point average out of 4.0 and was Phi Beta Kappa. He had 2.4 taking things like black studies. Guess who got into Vanderbilt and who didn't even get put on the waiting list?
Guess who got put into a silk stalking law firm and who's a co-host of the Political Cesspool?
Right.
But you know you're happier here, Keith.
Well, the thing is, if anybody's got reparations in mind, I want to take his retirement package to mind. He's worked at nothing but government jobs and has 5 pensions working for him.
You got a reverse mortgage though.
No, I don't have a reverse mortgage. I have a HELOC.
I mean, you nailed it right there with the corruption of the professional class. Because it doesn't really matter how smart you are, how talented you are. You know, I mean, it's so insane today. Like, you know, they'll just, you know, you can't advance because you're a cishet white male or something or God forbid you said you made a tweet on social media or something when you were 16 years old, and that's like alters the whole course of your life.
Well, I mean, like Roy Moore, insane ideology. Brad, like your fellow Alabamian Roy Moore, something that they ginned up, something that they manufactured from something that may or may not have occurred decades prior, cost him a seat in the United States Senate, which he would have won otherwise. You know, so, yeah, there's no litmus.
There's also a big cultural change there, too. It used to not be unusual for a 30-year-old man in the South, in the rural South in particular, to date a 17-year-old woman.
Well, but, I mean, there's no statute of limitations if you violate the Vandals and the Visigoths of multiculturalism. But, hey, Brad, the day may be turning. We're going to talk about Texas. An hour with Brad always goes by far too quickly. We're going to talk about Texas in the next segment. But, Brad, we've got about another minute or two. Take this segment to the wall in any way you'd like. I mean, what are we talking about here? Where are we going? What are we looking at?
One exciting thing I would like to look at is, you know, the overlaps between, where are all these people who spent, you know, so much of their time preoccupied with the abortion issue, how does that overlap with other issues like affirmative action, immigration, a budding sense of white identity that's, you know, clearly evident with these people, with, the vast majority of white evangelicals believing in the great replacement now, once these people, you know, once, you know, they've scored the victory on abortion, where do these people go? I mean, because, I mean, abortion's going to be banned in most of their states. So they're going to have to find something else to, like, occupy their time with. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yep, and those are the important issues. See, I that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that the conservative establishment is going to say, well, we won on Roe. We're going to fold our tent now and retire.
No. Once you get a little taste of victory and owning the libs like this, this is just going to increase that appetite for more.
It's like when a lion tastes flesh, Keith. He doesn't.
Well, the thing is, we've got people like Sebastian Gorka and Sean Hannity that are basically working for the other side.
But they don't. Sean Hannity and Sebastian Gorka don't dictate the future. History.
No.
History either. It's bigger than this.
Yeah, I mean, Hannity was one of the guys that was trying to sell amnesty. Remember that?
What's that?
And he was trying to sell amnesty back after Mitt Romney lost, and the base just completely blew on by him. And you know, Hannity is just a hack. Is that it? He's just going to be out there pushing the party line.
He never got beyond junior college for a reason.
Well, take a break. One more segment with the great scribe of our movement, Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent. Longtime friend, dear brother, and a true hero for our people. We'll be right back with Brad next.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
If Keith survives next week with this constant hack he's had all night, we'll be all the better for it. But you doing okay over there, buddy?
I'm hanging in there.
It's great to have back with us tonight Brad Griffin, who's not only been a longtime friend, but he and his wife and his in-laws, the legendary Gordon Baum, and his wife Linda, longtime friends of the family and of this program. Always an honor to present Brad to you on these airwaves. And Brad, I think this has just been quite a fitting end to so-called Pride Month, which was... Pride Month and Juneteenth, which was the reaction to George Floyd. I mean, to end this ridiculous month with a silver bullet like this is just really amazing.
Yeah, Juneteenth was kind of really overshadowed this month. It wasn't. It didn't seem to have the.
We need to have a Juneteenth like this every year.
Yeah. Well, one thing we haven't talked about, which we should, because, you know, it would have been the first thing our ancestors would notice, is like what this represents is this Dobbs decision is our gargantuan transfer of power back from Washington to the states and ultimately to the people in the states. and like how invigorating that is, you know, for all these people to feel like, you know, we can actually decide these matters ourselves instead of, you know, it feeling completely out of their hands. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, once things start to unwind like that, like what else is, because I mean, I can't see it, I can't see the Supreme Court, this Supreme Court at least, gobbling up more power. Do you think, I mean, what else could happen if, you know, they start, you know, devolving these issues, all these issues back to the states?
Well, like, what can happen and what is likely to happen is that the Democrats will cheat again on these midterm elections, get a majority in the Senate and maintain it in the House of Representatives and pass a federal law authorizing abortion.
I don't see that happening. I think there's going to be the red wave. Look, I mean,
I hope it doesn't happen.
God,
I hope you're right.
God knows what we've thought about establishment republicanism over the years, but there is something in the air. There's something changing here. And I tell you, Brad, listen, there is a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. It's certainly on a state level. And we're not talking about states like, look, if the Rhode Island GOP did something astounding, that would be noteworthy enough, I guess. But when you have a state like Texas doing it, Texas?
Mm-hmm. Texas did here recently.
And you blogged about it, Brad. Talk about what's going on in the Texas GOP. Folks, listen, if Brad Griffin were the chairman of the GOP and I were the vice chairman and Keith was a sergeant at arms, I don't know if we could do much more than what they actually did at their most recent convention, which happened just before.
They actually pointed the finger at the Voting Rights Act of 65. I never thought I'd say
that. This is unbelievable. This is the state of Texas, the biggest, one of the biggest states in the union, the biggest Republican state in the union, for sure. And what are they doing now there, Brad? You wrote about it.
Also, they condemned homosexuality, which got them, pissed off Don Jr. That was one of
them. We pissed off Don Jr. He wanted to use
yeah, us. Yeah, Don Jr., yeah. The condemned homosexuality.
And your stays pissed
and
off.
If I'm not mistaken, they said something about, like, voting on secession, Texas seceding from the union.
They
Now that's been gestating in Texas for a long time, but, you know, it makes me wonder with all this huge, you know, there's more support for secession in Texas than anywhere else in the country.
Well, look Brad, Texas is a Republican state, so when the state GOP says something, they are the controlling party in the state, and they want secession to be on the ballot next year. I mean, this is unfathomable. This would never have been something you would have considered possible 5 years ago.
Yeah. Like I said, in fact, I had a lot of the SPLC crew took note of it on Twitter. I was like, you know, I'm a normie now.
You've written that a lot, my friend, and you've made mention of it, and it is true. We are mainstream now. Our ideas are no longer fringe. Poll after poll proves it, and up to and including race and secession.
And the Voting Rights Act of 65 is where all of the fake and phony ballots were funneled through in the 2020 election.
Uh-huh. Now,
and
the
they
Supreme
recognize
Court.
It.
Go ahead. The Supreme Court chipped away at the Voting Rights Act a few years ago in the Shelby case, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. You don't have to go for approval of redistricting, but again, you're having trouble getting the Republicans to have enough gumption to come in and really disenfranchise the Democrats, like they could here in Tennessee very easily. They could take Steve Cohen's district away just like they did Jim Cooper's, but they were afraid that, oh, that's black Memphis. We might that might be a bridge too far, but that's part of it, but basically the Voting Rights Act enshrined voter fraud. They basically allowed proxy voting for blacks.
I want to read something to Brad that he actually posted, but your point's well taken, Keith. In this whole thing about voting, you can vote for, what, like half a year in advance with early voting, and you can mail in your ballots, you can stuff a ballot box. Used to you had to go on voting day.
Harvest ballots.
Exactly.
And they still can't afford, they still can't find the time to vote. It's still like a Jim Eagle if you ask them to vote within those constraints. but Brad, very quickly, and I want to read something that you captioned at OD. But the fact that the Texas GOP, I don't think that this could be overstated or overemphasized, the fact that the ruling party in the state of Texas, the biggest Republican state in the union, Texas is a nation in itself, is saying they want there to be on their state ballot a referendum for secession next year is unbelievably good.
That is, you know, imagine what would happen if they were actually so pissed off about Biden and gas prices and everything and just the whole you know everything imagine if Texas did secede. I mean that would really like. I mean, what would happen to the other states? Are the other states going to be stick? I mean, because without you know Texas, if suppose Texas became an independent country, though that would mean everybody else would be dominated by California and New York and stuff. So that I mean, it would just like set the whole deck of cards in motion. I mean, it would force the issue in other states. Is it, do you want to stick around or do you want to go out with Texas?
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about Texas very quickly. This is important, and I got to work it in because we're running out of time. An hour with Brad's never long enough. You could see something like this happen. If it becomes in vogue and trendy and fashionable, you see this in Florida. You see this certainly in Tennessee and in Alabama and Mississippi. This is from Salon, Brad, and you quote this at your blog, your excellent blog, which is the Daily Read, OccidentalDescent.com. Salon writes, and this is just last week, a couple of weeks ago now. Last week in Houston, Texas Republicans got a taste of just how far right their party has become. At the state's GOP convention, delegates officially declared, this is the state GOP of Texas, which is the ruling party in Texas, officially declared Joe Biden an illegitimate president, proposed repealing the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and voted for a platform calling on schools to teach that life begins at conception and to avoid all discussion of gender identity or sexuality. Additional planks attacked trans rights. This is Salon writing now, not us. Cast gender-affirming medical care as actionable malpractice and declared homosexual, quote, an abnormal lifestyle, end quote. When one delegate pushed back on that last point saying, quote, we are the Republican Party of Texas, not the Westboro Baptist Church, end quote, he was greeted with boos, laughter, and another delegate's tirade about dildos and fisting. But perhaps the most explosive takeaway from the convention was a series of heated confrontations in which a far-right group of activists and social media personalities followed Representative Dan Crenshaw, a Republican of Texas, through the hallways of the convention hotel chanting, "I patch McCain." This is the ruling party in one of the largest states in the union, which could be a nation unto itself.
In fact, Ukraine is about the same size as Texas. I wonder if they would suffer the same result.
I mean,
this is where we're at, Brad, in the Republican
Party.
Yeah, you're seeing this
again and again. I mean, we ought to have real confidence about our influence because, you know, we're really like a leading indicator, you know, where people like us are going is where, you know, a few years later, you know, slower people come around eventually.
The
and I was all talking about secession 10, 12 years ago. I mean, is when I was really getting into it and stuff. And now it's just all like, you know, taking on a life of its own. It's going, the masses are getting into it. So.
So where's the ceiling to this? Where's the ceiling to this, Brad, with 2 minutes remaining in a very fast hour with you, brother? Where's the ceiling? How far can we go with this? I mean, Texas is going to show us the way. We're going to catch up to Texas.
T for Texas, T for Tennessee.
Yeah, so can you imagine the Texas GOP having a conversation about the Jewish question or something? 3 years?
It's coming.
Because that's about literally all there is left.
If secession is on the ballot. If secession's on the ballot and it's a party line vote, Texas is gone. That's amazing to consider. You would have never considered that. That was impossible to consider. I'm repeating myself now, but this is how exciting the times are. There is a chance now. There is an opportunity now that did not exist 5 years ago.
And there's a halfway house between that. You know, when they entered the union, they were allowed in that document to subdivide themselves into five different states. That would be 10 more senators.
Well, that would really send the left to the. That, I mean, they're already bitter enough over like Wyoming.
Hey, Brad. Where's Liz? All right, there's the music. Where's Liz Cheney going to be a year from now, Brad? Last question. Go.
Working on the chain gang.
On MSNBC as a guest host on MSNBC. She's definitely losing. Brad, she's definitely losing her primary.
Her primary. I mean, forget the general, her primary. Brad Griffin, Lauren Witzke, for Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Brad, we love you. OccidentalDescent.com, everybody. What a great end to a great show. We wanted to close with Brad, and certainly we have. We'll talk to you again next week, Brad, when gay marriage is outlawed. Good night, everybody.
Talk to you later, man.
Bye. Godspeed.
Bye-bye.